Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. My name is Brandon Adams, and I am on the road to kickoff here on the way to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Not in Fayetteville as of yet. We'll be there hopefully sometime later on this afternoon. But certainly looking forward to Georgia and Arkansas on Saturday and looking forward to getting a chance to preview the game with all of you. It seems appropriate that we're doing this way today through the magic of video teleconference for a little bit different version of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. It kind of reminds us of where we were doing this show back in late March and April. And at that time, I think a lot of us wondered, would we ever actually be here? Would we ever be kicking off a season in the SEC? And fingers crossed, because I know there's still a round of testing, I guess, to be done here on this Friday, but fingers crossed, everybody from Georgia will be on that plane heading towards Arkansas and heading towards a 2020 season that could certainly be a special one. We'll do everything we can to help preview that for you here today. A little bit later on for us, back in the next couple of minutes, we have a nice privilege here. We'll get a chance to talk to Dave Neal. Dave will call the game along with DJ Shockley on the SEC Network on Saturday afternoon, so we'll look forward to hearing from Dave Neal on that. Dave's got some interesting things to say about Georgia quarterback Dwan Mathis, and I think one of the things from a TV standpoint that's always, I think, interesting is if you're the play-by-play man, the producer that's a part of this, the entire broadcast team, Tara Talmadge also doing sidelines, you know, you have to, in your pre-production meetings, kind of decide, how are we going to cover the story of what's going to happen for Georgia quarterback, the way in which Kirby Smart has kept his cards close to the vest in regards to the health status of JT Daniels. Dwan Mathis, the rumors have been that he's really emerged in Georgia practices over the last couple of weeks. I think a lot of us now expect to be the starting quarterback against Arkansas on Saturday. If you're a part of the broadcast team, and admittedly, they probably know more information than they're going to make public to us because they get a chance to meet privately with the coaches, even in 2020 through video teleconference and things like that, they're still able to do that kind of stuff. But you do have to have an idea of, are we ready to cover the JT Daniels part of this? And are we really ready to convey just how amazing the story of Dwan Mathis will be if he does get a chance to trot out there on Saturday. So obviously Dave Neal's excited about a lot of that and just energized about the idea of the SEC being back. So we'll hear from him on that. He'll also describe to us a bit how the TV experience this year is going to be made different because of the lack of, you know, Reynolds Razorback Stadium. You would typically expect 80,000 fans, or at least, you know, a few years ago, you were getting 80 grand there in that stadium. But it's obviously far less than that for this upcoming game and this upcoming season. So he'll talk to us about how that impacts the TV viewing experience on today's show. We'll do that with him here in a couple of minutes as I'm on the road on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. We'll also hear, as per usual, on a Friday from Jeff Sintel, on the road with him, assisted by AAA. We'll do this a little differently. You know, normally we focus in on recruiting storylines. It seems appropriate today to talk about what's going to happen on the field between Georgia and Arkansas, and obviously the recruiting work that Georgia has done the last couple of years certainly goes a long way in towards telling that story. So that'll be fun to get a chance to hear from Jeff Sintel on that topic here today. We'll do that with him also in just a few minutes. We're very busy. I'm also going to share a piece of audio with you before we're done on today's show. Really interesting stuff from Kirk Herbstreit. We've kind of focused in on some of these ESPN guys a little bit. And, you know, Kirk Herbstreit's going to remind us today that as the debate rages about who Georgia's quarterback eventually will be and the curiosity builds about who it's going to be on Saturday against Arkansas, with all of that taking place, it's also, I think important to remember that there's some other offensive questions for Georgia that still need to be answered. One of those in particular in the wide receiver spot, George Pickens, we know what he brings to the table, but after Dominic Blaylock's injury and some departures for guys like Lawrence Cager, who went healthy a season ago, was quite impactful for Georgia. What else is there for Georgia, the wide receiver position? What do we know about that group? Kirk Herbstreit's going to have some interesting things to say on that topic from a recent ESPN podcast. We'll share that audio with you before we're done. We'll preview the rest of the SEC there as well. So I'm on the road. I'm actually in a hotel room in Mississippi right now. Kind of had to stop on the roadside last night, get a little sleep so we could continue making our way towards Arkansas here today. So we're looking forward to doing that. There's nothing I'd rather be doing more than being on my way to an SEC football game involving the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. So we'll do everything we can to kind of get you ready for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. With that in mind, the guy that's calling the game on Saturday, along with DJ Shockley, the great former Georgia quarterback, and Terry Talmadge, is Dave Neal. Dave has spent a lot of time around the SEC. He has seen many season openers, maybe none, though, quite like the one that's going to take place tomorrow between the Dogs and the Hogs. But for more on what we can expect on the field, on your TV screens, and just a general outlook of what this game may be like tomorrow, let's welcome in Dave Neal from the SEC Network here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, it's great to get a chance to talk to Dave Neal, who will call the game on Saturday on the SEC Network, along with DJ Shockley and Tara Talmadge. Dave, thank you so much for your time. Welcome back to the college football season. I'm sure it has felt as long of a wait for you as it has for the rest of us.
Man, it has been a long, long off season, and the fact that we're here is incredible. I've been fortunate that I've had a couple of football games to start with. A couple of weeks ago, I was in North Carolina, and last week I was in Middle Tennessee. So I've kind of got my feet wet, and I've had a chance to kind of taste the world of college football. And but it's nothing like SEC football, and this is a whole new deal coming up where it's 10 games against your rivals, and let's go. Tee it up, and let's see who the best is. So. Yeah, to say I'm excited would be an understatement.
I am excited, too, and I'm also curious. You know, I've seen some of the games in the early portion of the season, yet, as you said before, we're all watching these games more closely. As far as the TV viewer experience goes, how is it going to be different in the age of social distancing? And for you, a longtime broadcaster, how is your job made different by some of the things that we're experiencing, obviously, because of the coronavirus?
Well, that's a large question from my side of things. From the players, from the fan standpoint, you know, other than the fact that, you know, most people won't have the opportunity to go. That's not saying that there won't be people in the stands. Obviously, we know there will be. But you know, the average guy just not going to be able to go to these games, at least for the time being. So they're going to be at home watching, and which is great for the TV side of things. Maybe ratings pick up a little bit, which is good for my business. But as far as I'm concerned, though, Brandon, it is a crazy world out there. I mean, next week I've got Missouri at Tennessee, and I'm going to have to do the game from my house.
Wow.
With monitors and all this stuff set up, this equipment in my house. I've never done it. Fortunate that this week and the last 2 weeks I've been able to be on site, but things are changing with the company and the way television is produced. And, you know, it's going to be strange. And you know what? Here's the thing. There's already been about half the games you've seen on ESPN have come from announcers being at their house. Uh-huh. And maybe you haven't noticed, maybe you have, I don't know, but I haven't really noticed. So, and that's the goal, is maybe you don't notice. What you don't know won't hurt you is kind of my motto. So if there's something not there that we normally give you and you don't notice that it's not there, then okay. But yeah, it's different, and it's going to be crazy. And again, fortunately, I've had a chance to do a couple of games and see how the process works. And I can't even go in the truck anymore, the TV
sure.
truck. Just the people who work in the truck are the only ones allowed in there. So, and the press boxes are empty, and there's nobody there. Heck, I was in North Carolina 2 weeks ago, and there wasn't a soul in the stadium. I parked literally in the front entrance of Keenan Stadium.
That is a
That's
different.
That's how crazy it is.
It's a different experience than normal, for sure. As far as what's going to happen on the field on Saturday, as you know, a huge storyline the last few weeks, really months now, has been who the Georgia starting quarterback will be, and the presumed battle between Dwan Mathis and JT Daniels. We don't know how healthy Daniels is. We don't know if Mathis is truly going to start the way the buzz suggests. I know your broadcast partner knows the quarterback position at Georgia very well, DJ Shockley. How are you guys planning on covering this story on Saturday?
Well, obviously, you know, the fact that Jamie Newman has opted out is, because we don't know, but could be a real game changer for Georgia. Just everything that, you know, I had a chance to do a couple of Wake Forest games the last 2 years, and watching Jamie Newman play, you saw what kind of value he brings to really any offense. And, you know, I'm sure Todd Monken spent most of the offseason kind of preparing with him as the guy. We don't know much about Dwan Mathis. Obviously, his story is a marvelous comeback story after brain surgery. JT Daniels coming off this ACL, what will he or will he not be cleared to play? I'm just going into this assuming that he will. I've already talked to a few of the coaches in that this week, and you know, they're not tipping their hat on who's going to start.
Sure.
But here's my feeling on it. Just my gathering stuff and just kind of feeling it out. I think we're going to see Dwan Mathis get the start in this game. And if JT Daniels can go, they're going to play him a substantial amount, because here's the thing. Georgia's got to figure this out at the quarterback position, because it does not get easier. I mean, you've got a chance against Arkansas to really test things out, get some guys to snap, see what you like, what you don't like. But then the gauntlet starts: Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, I mean, Florida. Great for the fan, not so good if you're a coach, right, trying to get your team ready.
No
so
doubt.
You better have this thing figured out when you leave Arkansas, or at least have a pretty good clue on where you want to go at that position, because Todd Monken's offense, quarterback's got to make this thing go, man. You can't, even though you got White and Cook in the backfield and some what you hope are some talented receivers, your quarterback's got to make sure this thing happens. And I'm anxious to see DeJuan play. I mean, they were raving about his ability as a runner, passer kind of guy, but I don't think anybody really knows for sure because he hadn't played.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the time we have left, I want to look at the Arkansas side for a moment. Do you get a sense, or how much of a sense do you get about how the folks in Fayetteville are excited about Sam Pittman's debut as head coach? Are they as behind him as you'd assume a fan base would be for their coaching, you know, their coach's, you know, first game?
Well, I will say this, Brandon. They're excited for anything other than what they saw the last
yeah.
2 years. Chad Morris was great to us, and I enjoyed our conversations and stuff, but he just did not engage with the Arkansas fan, didn't really embrace what they are and what they're about. And Sam Pittman has been there, right? I mean, he's been on that staff before. He knows what it is in Arkansas. This is their unit, the state's university, right? I mean, they need some success. It has been such a horrible run for them. And other than maybe a year or two under Bielema, I mean, they've had the decade has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, not a great way to start for Arkansas, but I think Sam Pittman has at least got people kind of on the bandwagon a little bit. Maybe that they know that this year isn't really a great opportunity for them to make serious strides, but you got to give them some hope, right? You got to win a couple of games maybe you weren't supposed to win so that you can go into 2021 feeling pretty positive. But Sam's hard not to like, man. He is such a great dude, and it's hard not to root for him. So, hopefully he'll have some success, you know, at Arkansas, but that's to be determined.
Well, I'll tell you this, if we say goodbye to you, SEC fans love it when guys are in the booth that know the sport, know the league, and you've obviously been around the SEC for a long time. So it's good to have you, DJ Shockley, Tara Talmadge, on the call on the SEC Network on Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, and hope you enjoyed the football weekend.
Yeah, can't wait for kickoff tomorrow. Going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Welcome into Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. We'll get Jeff Sintel here coming up a little bit later on. It'll be fun to get Jeff's thoughts on the Dogs and the Hawks coming up on Saturday. Let me also give a shout-out to my friends at Kroger for being with us and being part of the show here today. They got a big sale on candy both today and tomorrow at your local Kroger. Make sure you check this out. I'm talking about Hershey's Mars Butterfinger Jumbo Bags. They are normally $5.99. You can get them right now for $3.49. So as you're heading towards a Halloween season this year, that might be a little different than you're used to. Certainly coming up this today and tomorrow at Kroger, a chance to get some savings and still stock up on some of that Halloween candy. Even if you don't have as many trick-or-treaters this year, just eat the candy for yourself. That's always my advice on that. And it's great to have all of you as part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. By the way, speaking of Kroger, if you're watching on video, you're going to be able to see this. If you're not, I'll tell you for radio podcast. So Kroger has come up with a really cool mask, kind of honoring some of the great moments in recent UGA football history, kind of taking some of the Dog Nation stories from, like the one I have in my hand here is from the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago. It's basically taking the Rose Bowl Georgia wins story from Dog Nation, slapping that on a mask. Obviously, everybody's wearing masks. Those don't appear to be going out of style anytime soon. So Kroger wanted to do something kind of fun for this. And the reason why I bring this up on today's show on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger is to let you know that if you're coming to Fayetteville this weekend, and, you know, I'm believing we're going to still see a handful of Georgia fans who figure out a way to get in the stadium somehow. If you see me, I'll have Dog Nation gear on. My big fat face is, you know, fairly recognizable as it is. If you see me, come up and say hello, because there's a really good chance I may have one of these Kroger Dog Nation masks to give to you this weekend in Fayetteville. And we'll be doing this around, you know, hopefully they'll be let me out and about. Let me give some of these things away. But in this weekend in Fayetteville, stop by, say hello to me. Let's try to see if we can, you know, meet up. And I'll be giving out some of these masks here this weekend in Fayetteville, courtesy of our friends at Kroger. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, we're about to go around the doghouse here today, delivered by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And to do so, I'm going to have an incredible breach of protocol. This has never before been done, but we're going to do it here today because it's the day before the start of the season. We're in a great mood. We're having a good time. I'm actually going to bring on Jeff Sintel, before we go on the road assisted by AAA. This has never been done before. Jeff's going to be a part of Around the Doghouse delivered today by Marco's Pizza. Jeff, how do you feel about actually coming on the show in a segment that we don't normally hear from you? As I said before, this is an incredible breach of protocol, but I feel like on a day like this, you know, why not have a little fun? Why not mix things up a little bit? I'm actually going to bring you on, you know, prior to your normal segment. How do you feel about that?
Brandon, man, that sounds great. I had to initially unmute myself this time. And hey, greetings from Mississippi. We got a protocol breach. We got, first of all, man, I'm going to have to send you a bill for outside airtime here on your show. I need one of those. I need one of those masks, man. Brother, I don't have one of those masks. I need one of those masks. My kids need one of those masks. Come on, man.
Listen, I think the thing that people now have just kind of gotten used to wearing masks. Now they just want a mask that's more interesting. And, you know, that's certainly an example of that. So, yeah, I'll be giving some of those away. And, Jeff, who knows? I might even give one to you. Let me be serious here for a moment, though, as we're around the doghouse delivered today by Marco's Pizza. So we have talked a lot about the Georgia quarterback situation. In fact, if you tune in and watch the show or listen to the show, you've heard us debate every angle of, is Dwan Mathis going to start on Saturday? And what about JT Daniels? When might we see him? And if you're maybe not a Georgia fan or only a casual UGA fan, you might wonder if we are all just obsessing over this a little too much. But, Jeff, with that in mind, I thought we would have some context here, especially after since we just heard Dave Neal speaking about this a moment ago, that I thought there was an interesting piece from Bill Connolly from ESPN.com, and I don't have a fancy graphic to show for you, so I'm just going to put my phone up on the screen here. It's the 25 most important players in the college football playoff chase, and he kind of gives reasons for a lot of them, and most of these players are players that, you know, our audience, pretty plugged in college football fans, are all pretty familiar with. But if you scroll all the way to the first part of the list, the number one people on the list from Bill Connolly, ESPN.com, of the most important people in the college football playoff chase is the eventual starting quarterback for Georgia, whether it's Dwan Mathis, whether it's JT Daniels. Jeff, I want to read to this. I want to read you just a couple sentences of this because I think it sets up pretty interesting here. What Connolly writes is that it doesn't really matter who ends up starting quarterback for Georgia. It only matters that whomever it is thrives in that spot. Georgia will start 2020 with the most proven defense in college football, Connolly says. And while the offense could use another top skill core player, it still has a couple of proven linemen in receiver George Pickens, running back Zamir White and James Cook, and a new batch of blue chippers. Connolly says at ESPN.com, with great quarterback play, the Dogs go from SEC East co-favorite to potentially national title co-favorite. Sounds like the quarterback of choice for the Georgia Bulldogs is the most important player in the country to me. That's Bill Connolly from ESPN.com, really accentuating what those of us inside the bubble of Dog Nation have said for a while, that this is an important outcome. Now, I don't believe that the quarterback has to play at the first round pick level the way we've seen, you know, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa play in recent years, but it does have to be a good player, and it does need to lead to a good season, and I think it needs to be better than Georgia was at this position a year ago. What do you think of Bill Connolly here saying, hey, this is the most important position, this combination of either Daniels or Mathis, the most important player in the college football playoff chase? What do you make of that?
Well, I think that's impressive because you've got a guy like Bill Connolly who says something. Brandon, yesterday on our Cover 4 Live, when we were picking our offensive players, I wanted to go with the quarterback to be named or the quarterback of record for the Georgia season. I think the quarterback play for Georgia, depending on how it goes, you're looking at a swing from around 8.7 to maybe 11.7 wins there. I think it's a three-game swing in terms of – now, I agree with you, Brian. I don't think Georgia needs – I know a lot of people are throwing out items in terms like, you know, Vince Young or Cam Newton. You know, that's what maybe Dwan Mathis can play like. I don't think he needs to walk on water quite to that extent. I think if Georgia – if you can tell me right now that Georgia's quarterback winds up on a lot of all-SEC ballots, not even the all-SEC first-teamer or second-teamer. If Georgia has top three quarterback play in the conference from their guy in 2020, I think that bodes very well for Georgia, and I think it certainly deserves a top 25 most influential spot.
Yeah, here's what I believe. If you want to go back, to me, 2015 is not that long ago. Maybe it's longer than I realize, but to me, it's not that long ago. In 2015, the national championship quarterback was Jacob Coker. That's not an elite NFL-type player. That was just an effective play in the Alabama offense. since then, we have seen the Deshaun Watsons, the Trevor Lawrences, and the, if you want to count Tua Tagovailoa in 2017, we've seen him winning national, you know, those kinds of quarterbacks winning national championships. But Jeff, what I'll say in response to that is Georgia could have won in 2017 with a freshman Jake Fromm, who ended up not being a first round pick. Alabama could have won in 2016 with Jalen Hurts, who had a good college career, but he wasn't an eventual first round pick either. So while we have seen these like top flight, all-time great quarterbacks seemingly winning titles the last couple of years, in a couple of those instances, the team on the other side that came close to winning didn't necessarily have that same kind of quarterback. I still think good can be good enough for a team to be great. And frankly, for Georgia, that is good news because, you know, in my role as someone who, you know, kind of talks about this stuff for a living and speaks directly to UGA fans, the one thing I don't want to do is sort of set up an unfair level of expectation for either Mathis, Daniels, or anybody else. I think that's setting them up to fail before the season even begins because, you know, the excitement that builds around maybe Mathis now, maybe it's Daniels later, it almost becomes, you know, the kind of thing that just becomes very difficult to live up to. And I think I'm saying here is, you know, it doesn't have to be Joe Burrow level of play for Georgia to have an LSU level of result going back to last season.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think that's where a lot of people kind of get the waters muddied. I think of a lot of first-round quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones. There's a lot of guys that have been, you know, first-round gold, and they had the arm talent and everything else, but you need to have the whole structure, the whole team around them. I think Georgia has that team around them, and, I mean, you go back to 2015 and guys like that. I don't think it's possible for a guy to a Coker – a guy like that to win a national title anymore, especially the way things look right now, especially with everybody else has got their first rounders and their total programs together. I think if you ask me, you know, everybody has opinions these days about Jake Fromm and his legacy at Georgia. You got to think that, you know, Jacob Coker, some of those guys, AJ McCarron, that's kind of like more like those Alabama teams. But I think the last two or three years of college football has proven to us is that Alabama model, which was dynastic. I don't think that even works anymore in college football. You got to have a little bit more juice on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, pause right there for a moment because we're around the doghouse assisted by, or I should say delivered by our friends at Marco's Pizza. You're getting ready for some college football here this upcoming weekend. Marco's Pizza, an incredible choice on that. It's real, authentic pizza made the Italian way. It's also a great value. Listen, my family, we love Marco's Pizza. Frankly, the parents love it because it's not too bad on the wallet. The kids love it because it tastes great. And frankly, I want good pizza that tastes great as well. That's what Marco's Pizza provides. Let me give you an example of that as we're heading towards the weekend. You can get a large one-topping pizza and 10 chicken wings or dippers. Right now, it's just $17.99. That's a Dog Nation game day favorite. You better believe that's true. And there are a couple of different ways you can place your order here. Get the Marco's app. I would advise you to do that. Or simply check them out at marcos.com. Get ready for some college football here this weekend. Get ready for some NFL maybe on Sunday. Marco's Pizza is a great game day pairing. All right, with that said, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, it's great to have all of you with us. If you're just joining us via video or something like that, you should know that I'm on the road today. We're on our way towards Fayetteville for the game on Saturday between Georgia and Arkansas. I want to talk more about that. Now, officially, it's the Jeff's Intel segment that we like to think of as on the road, assisted by AAA. And Jeff, I guess in keeping with the theme of breaching protocol on a day like this before the start of the season, how about on the road assisted by AAA today? Normally it's you that's on the road. You're visiting the recruits. You're traveling to high school games. You're, you know, just doing whatever the recruiting trail requires from you. Today it's actually you from the home base there in the Atlanta area. It's me that's on the road. Is it possible to do an on the road with Jeff Sintel assisted by AAA if it's me and not you that's actually on the road? That's controversial.
Ah, you know, Brandon, it's 2020. That's all we got to say. It's the 2020 edition of On the Road. Sometimes things do not appear as they seem. And I want to know, Brandon, are you wearing red pants today? Are you wearing red pants tomorrow? You got something red pants in your suitcase while you're on the road this weekend, right?
Yeah, I wish that I did. I'd love nothing more. I am excited about the uniforms. I like them. I think you and I are kind of the same mind on this. Also because we are, you know, of this era. I'm not quite old enough to remember the 1980 season, but I grew up in the 80s when Georgia was wearing these red pants, something very similar to what they're going to wear tomorrow on the field. They were wearing that during away games, kind of as I was coming of age and becoming a very big Georgia fan. I'd love nothing more than for these red pants to become just what they wear. I think it's an improvement for the road uniform. Not that I don't love the silver britches, I obviously do, but go red britches on the road with the white jersey, the red helmet kind of glowing in the lights. I think that's an awesome look. I really do. That black number, the way it sticks out. I think it's a very, very sharp, uniform.
You know, it's funny. I think some of the recruits, they've all told me that they like this look a lot better. And it does feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy pulling the football away from them, because they're like, I'm going to get to wear those, right? Or I'm going to get to try those on, right? And I was like, well, you're not going to get to try them on for a while. Yeah. And then you're probably not going to get to wear them. There's a good theory, Brandon. Quickly weigh in. A lot of people want the road debut, first road game of the season. That's just part of Georgia's rotation and wardrobe. They wear those red pants for the first road game of every year.
I'd be fine with that. I'm going to make a bigger deal about this than it probably requires making, but you know there's a stigma around Georgia uniforms, and it's maybe to a degree unfair, but, you know, Georgia did get beat in 2008 in the blackout game against Alabama, the ugly uniform that Georgia got just, you know, run up and down the field while wearing against Florida in 2009, even the goofy thing against Boise State in 2011. You know, Georgia just has a weird connection to uniforms, and no one would say that the uniforms have cost Georgia the game. No one would say that, but making a big deal about the uniform and then going out there and losing the game is enough to sour at least most fans in that conversation. So this is one of those years, Jeff, where Georgia can make their uniforms just a uniform again, not a motivational ploy, just a cool uniform to wear. There are very few fans in the stands, so if you wear black jerseys, it's not a blackout. It's just a jersey you wanted to wear that day. Black is an official color for Georgia. The same thing here. You know, don't make it this is how serious we're taking this game. We're wearing our special uniforms. I'm like you. Either wear them for a designated time or always wear them. If Georgia wore the black uniforms for every home game this year, I'd be fine with that, just as a way of saying this isn't something we're doing for motivational. This is just something we were going to wear from time to time. You know, Major League Baseball teams now wear a different uniform every night. You know, no one really thinks anything about that. I'm kind of a traditionalist. I don't want Georgia to have 1,000 uniforms, but the three that it has right now, I kind of like them all. The black jersey with the silver britches, the white jersey with the red britches, the traditional red and silver. I'd be fine with any of those uniforms.
I mean, I think, Brandon, that's what everybody – you're a man of the people. That's what a lot of people want. I think the over-under is how many times we see those black jerseys this year. Is that one? Is that two? Is that home games? You know, I think that's what I'm waiting to see, because we've already learned that the red pants – and that nostalgic 1980 Carney Norris, Clarence K, Frank Ross jersey, that jersey is going to go back into the vault. Probably be for sale somewhere on eBay pretty soon, but that's it.
Okay, so before we get into this game on Saturday, there's one more thing I want to say to you about this. I mentioned this on one of our shows the other day. I forget which one. I'm a little bit surprised that in light of the fact that Georgia's wearing the throwback uniform, there hasn't been more chatter related to this being junkyard dog defense, right? I mean, and I know that's a hard thing to kind of throw around, because for the people who remember the great days of Irk Russell, you know, that's a big comparison to make. But my gosh, you know, as I read from Bill Connelly, you know, a moment ago, this is the most proven defense in the country for 2020. Even non-Georgia fans would acknowledge that. You know, it remains to be seen if it's national championship level good. That's obviously the final threshold to cross over here. But in a time in which we're thinking about throwback, Georgia wearing a uniform similar to what it wore in the 80s, how about throwing back the nickname there as well? To me, it seems appropriate to call this the Junkyard Dog defense again. But for some reason, we haven't heard that chatter, even though Georgia will be wearing a very similar Junkyard Dog style uniform tomorrow.
You know, Brandon, when you say Junkyard Dogs, I don't have a lot of flashbacks to pro wrestling days, but when I hear Junkyard Dogs, I do think of JYD and JYD. That theme music with him coming out there with the big scraggly beard. And this isn't a big bold prediction. This is what's going to happen, folks. Jordan Davis is going to have that chain around his neck this year in 2020. He's going to be coming out that tunnel. And he's going to make that chain look very, very, very small.
Well, it's ironic. You know, I'm in Mississippi right now. Junkyard Dog, that's kind of where he made his, you know, made a name for himself in the old Mid-South territory prior to some of the stuff that, you know, he would go on to do in WWF and things like that. You know, it was in Mississippi, Louisiana, where Junkyard Dog, that's kind of where he came of age as a wrestling superstar. So it's appropriate we're talking about JYD today, because, you know, I'm kind of in a state that JYD, he was running that state you know, back in, I guess it had been like late 70s for early 80s for Junkyard Dog before he became kind of a cartoon character, household name in WWF. It was Mid-South territory for JYD, and that's kind of where I am right now.
Maybe we should do something with that, Brandon. While there's the conduit and the transit stations between great young player, Georgia starter, All-American, and then DGD, maybe we call a guy that's balling out on the defensive side of the ball. Why don't we just call him a JYD on his way to DGD?
I like that. That may have some legs, Jeff. That's good stuff. All right, I want to ask you more about the game. I also want to address a comment in one of our comment sections here, too. It's on the road, assisted by AAA today here with Jeff Sintel. It's me that's on the road today. But, listen, you better believe that I'm still thinking about that great value you get when it comes to a AAA membership because, listen, if I'm driving a lot of miles, it's almost 800 miles to a Fayetteville, so you want to make sure that you're protected from a roadside situation or make sure that you're covered on all of that. And AAA can really save you a lot of worry when it comes to that kind of stuff. They can also save you money, too. In fact, you know about the roadside assistance. One of the things you might not be aware of is that AAA can also offer you auto insurance as well. When you switch and save with AAA, you save on average $529. That's incredible value, $529. So here's the website to go to. It's AAA.com/auto insurance. That's AAA.com/auto insurance. And you can say with our friends at AAA as we're on the road with Jeff Sintel today, assisted by AAA. All right, real quick, Jeff, speaking of being on the road, Frank Patterson notices as he's watching on video that I'm in the hotel room here. It's kind of our makeshift Dog Nation Daily studio here today. He says that he knows I got that continental breakfast before the show began. Jeff, you know this. Continental breakfast is not enough protein for me. I'm not a cereal eater. You know, I try to avoid fruit at all costs. It's just not enough protein for me. If it doesn't have bacon or eggs or some sausage, it's just not breakfast for me. So I'm going full on, you know, I'm in the heart of the Deep South right now. I'm going full on Southern breakfast when I eat. No continental breakfast for this guy. That sounds too close to something that might be European.
And that sounds like the Intercontinental Champion or something like that. Right. You don't need the continental breakfast. You need the world heavyweight continental breakfast. So.
That's exactly right. Speaking of some heavyweights, Georgia's got plenty of those on both sides of the ball against Arkansas tomorrow. Jeff, I do want to just kind of, you know, obviously there's a huge curiosity about what's going to happen. I mean, what are your early thoughts that are forming in your mind about what it's going to look like at 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon?
I think it's going to look pretty bad for Arkansas, and I know that's cutting straight to the quick, and I'm not really throwing a breaking news tag on this. You know, Brandon, one thing we do all the time is I try to do on our site. I put it up earlier this week. I look at the blue-chip signees over the last four cycles and compare Georgia and its opponent. Man, I don't know if I've seen one of these, especially for an SEC opponent in quite some time. Georgia has signed 81 blue-chips over the last 4 years. Arkansas has signed 21. There's a difference of 60 players the programs have funneled in terms of that elite talent. Now, I know it can skew a little bit. Owen Condon, Jordan Davis, those guys were three stars. Those guys don't even make the metric in terms of how good these teams are going to be. And those guys are going to be some of the very big key players for Georgia on Saturday. But this is one thing I really looked at, Brandon. Arkansas has signed 21 four stars, no five stars over the last four cycles. They've only signed one offensive lineman that of those 21 that was a four-star guy. You throw in two defensive ends and one inside linebacker. The rest of those blue chips that Arkansas has signed, those are all wide receivers, cornerbacks, and quarterbacks and safeties. That does not bode well for Saturday afternoon when Georgia, I think, is just going to ram that football down their throats and kind of have their way. They're going to move Arkansas off the ball. And they're going to impose their will on the Razorbacks. It's going to be a lot of bacon on the field on Saturday, Brandon.
So I certainly agree with you on the idea that I don't think Arkansas is good enough to put up much of a fight in this game. However, if you look at the Vegas point spread, somewhere around 25, 26 points, depending on where you see it and when you've seen it so far this week, Jeff, Georgia scored fewer than that six times a season ago. So if we stipulate that Arkansas is not good enough to threaten Georgia, is Georgia right now in your mind good enough to be pretty against Arkansas, or is there a chance this is, you know, kind of one of those typical, you know, Georgia goes out there and just sort of smothers an opponent? Is it one of those games for Georgia, or are they good enough right now to be pretty against Arkansas?
Well, I mean, everybody looks for that team that catches lightning in a bottle. Look back to last year. You watched LSU in its first game against Texas. They looked like they had something cooking there. They looked like the scheme, the talent. There was a marriage of a unison of things going on there that made people think this is a different LSU. I think Georgia can't smother LSU with a smother Arkansas, excuse me, with a 28-0 result with 200 yards on the ground, 150 through the air, a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. I do think it has to look pretty. I do think you need to see that starting quarterback winging it around a little bit and opening up the ground game. Remember, everybody, I would stress, and this is a different way to use the term false positive, but if everybody remembers that Vanderbilt game last year, that first half of the Vanderbilt game, before it looked like Demetrius Robertson pulled up and Kyaris Jackson went out with the wrist. I think Isaiah Wilson had an injury where he left that game as well. But for the first four or five series, you saw a lot of James Cook. You saw a lot of guys getting active. For the first four or five series of that Vanderbilt game, Georgia looked like they had something against Vanderbilt on the road in the SEC. And I think that's the thing where Georgia needs to show – you need to see something happening there where somebody, as I heard last night on Cover 4 Live, somebody's letting Munkin cook. And that might just mean not much dangerous Russ Wilson cook. It might mean letting Munkin use James Cook to bust up some big explosive plays.
I like that. We're on the road with Jeff Sintel, assisted by AAA Frank DiCarlo Jr. in our Facebook comment section, mentioning the idea that Georgia could have 300 yards in the ground. Jeff, it's a comparison to a year ago. You mentioned the Vanderbilt game. I believe, if memory serves, Georgia rushed for 290 that day against Vanderbilt. You think three Bills could be in play for this Georgia rushing attack tomorrow, or do they want to throw the ball more in Todd Munkin's debut?
That's going to be interesting. You know, if we're looking for things to happen, I wonder if a healthy Kendall Milton gets a chance to really, really lay on Arkansas in the second half and really show how hard it is going to be for him to get on the ground. That would be a guy getting Georgia to back up a lot of really good reps, maybe in a blowout situation or some garbage situations third and fourth quarter. I don't think people want to see 300 yards, Brandon, from Georgia, or at least not the way they stacked it up against Vanderbilt. But it wasn't really very explosive the way Georgia that was kind of a microcosm for the whole year. I think what would get a happy folks in those post-game Zoom conferences is Georgia talking about a lot of 15 or more plays in the passing game. If we can look at that box score on Saturday night and see a 50, 60-yard touchdown run, which would be better than anything Georgia did against an SEC opponent a year ago. And then also we could see a 50, 60-yard pass. Remember, everybody expects George Pickens to get to 1,000 yards receiving. Well, he needs to get about 80 or 90 in this first week alone. I think the main thing is Georgia just has to look dangerous, to coin that phrase from Russ Wilson. Georgia needs to look dangerous in those red pants against Arkansas, as they should. Huge gap in talent here.
All right, so let me finish with this, Jeff. Over on our YouTube comment section, Stephen Wainwright brings this up about JT Daniels. So in my mind, and maybe you disagree, but that's why I'm asking you, in my mind, it seems like there has been a downgrade in conversation about JT Daniels over the last couple of weeks. It's kind of gone from being someone at one point in time that was pushing supposedly Jamie Newman splitting number one reps, then Newman's gone, and, you know, now all of a sudden it's you're pushing, you know, it's like Dwan Mathis and JT Daniels having the same conversation, you know, competition with Newman gone. It was the expectation that they thought Daniels would be cleared to play. Now it's going to turn into, we hope JT Daniels is cleared to play. And all of this could be subterfuge from Kirby Smart. And if it is, it's his prerogative to do that. But it's just sort of weird that we went from hearing a lot about JT Daniels, as we get closer to the start of the season, hearing very little about him at all. Is this because of the Dwan Mathis story just kind of sucks everything into it like a tractor beam? Or is this something different? What do you make of where things stand, not with the quarterback we think is going to start on Saturday, Mathis, but the other quarterback who at one point in time was quite hyped up in JT Daniels?
Brandon, I'm just going to be frank on this one. I think Georgia fans, especially with the trigger man of their offense, I think they're ready to change the channel with a different style quarterback back there. I think a lot of folks, they've got whispers, they hear folks, the tea leaves, the chatter, they got somebody like, and not everybody has 15 McGill Society friends like you do, Brandon, but they hear somebody that's been watching these practices and these scrimmages, and they want a dynamic, mobile quarterback. And I actually think both Carson Beck and Dwan Mathis fit that bill. I'm going to be frank again. I think the best version of Georgia has a dynamic mobile quarterback this season in 2020 to kind of make all these pieces work, the young line, the young receivers, getting a Zamir White, getting guys out of the box, gets to really respect the zone read and everything else with Georgia. I think the best version of that, combined with JT Daniels' health and where he's at, and maybe he's not as mobile as he should be, I think people are really excited after watching all those showpiece quarterbacks. And they you know that meme that's always around the internet with Georgia fans where kept looking at that other team's quarterback and, oh my gosh, he just got 8 yards on third and six. Man, that's great. We didn't even have to risk the ball. I think Georgia fans are kind of starving for that sort of thing under center for their quarterback spot.
Jeff, can I tell you why I love our audience here? Chuck Ward in our YouTube comment section, he's giving me restaurant recommendations as I'll be in Fayetteville later on tonight. That's what you really need, Jeff. And you know this because you're on the road assisted by AAA all the time. You know, you want to know those good food spots. I will give you a little intel that, you know, we're on our way. We're going to stop by Memphis for lunch later on. I've got my eye on a couple of different places for Memphis for lunch today. That's a great lunch town. Memphis is one of the great lunch towns in America. Whether you want to go Gus's Fried Chicken, Rendezvous Barbecue, I'll give free plugs out on this. It's a great lunch town. Haven't quite got dinner figured out in Fayetteville tonight, but I got Chuck Ward and others in our YouTube and Facebook and Twitter comment sections helping me out with that. So that's good stuff, Jeff. That's why I love our audience.
So, Brandon, I'm on the road. One of the things I do, and I love it when the football coaches and we're talking about where the kids are going to go and what they're like, and you know, the best story about all these players that are on their way or deeply considering University of Georgia, when they tell me, it's like, listen, now, you're not going to call me a friend if I don't tell you to go to XYZ Barbecue or go over there to that deli, deli off Main Street. You know, but you tell me that story, man. And, Brandon, I wonder, do your kids get a chance to choose? I mean, or they're not getting chicken fingers at all these places. You're not going to the drive-thru for them. They're like, oh, no, Dad's going to this hoity-toity spot again.
No, it's not hoity-toity. There's no hoity-toity with me. But you've heard it said before, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's generally true in our household. But when it comes to food, if daddy's not full, then everybody's going to be having a bad day. So they like for Big Daddy to get himself a good lunch to make sure he stays in a good mood as we're rolling down the road. Plus, you know, my kids are garbage disposals. They'll pretty much eat anything.
I bet young Charlie's going to be 10 or 11 years old one day, and he's going to be sitting there discussing the types of barbecue sauces, whether he likes North Carolina, whether he likes, he's going to have the ability from hanging around Dad about, you know, I kind of like this type of slaw the best. I kind of like this type of, I mean, he's probably already well dialed in.
Well, he's 8 years old. And when we told him we're going to take him on the trip, because this is like the first road trip we've taken as a family. They just never really been old enough to do it. You know, I said, we may stop in Memphis for lunch. He goes, oh, Daddy, that's a great barbecue spot. I'm like, how do you know that? Are you reading blog? Are you reading food blogs? How did you learn that? But somehow he had kind of learned that. Either way, Jeff, thanks for being here on the road today, assisted by AAA. I hope you enjoyed the game. I know a lot of folks will look forward to your perspective on all of this. You'll get your freshman report out to us and detail who gets a chance to play from the freshman roster, who gets a chance to travel. I guess I'll squeeze this in. I know I've kept you really long here. And, you know, the broadcast itself is kind of turning into a long one. Any surprises you expect with the 70-man travel roster? You know, if you zero in on, you know, I'm looking at guys like Justin Robinson, who I would expect to have a chance to be a special teams contributor at the very least on Saturday. You know, that's someone I could expect to see go on a trip like this. You know, some of the linemen, I think, you know, it depends on how many of those you're able to take. What are you expecting from the 70? I'm not asking for all 70 names, but is there a swing player one way or another that you're paying close attention to?
I think there's some intrigue, Brandon, because, you know, I've been doing the freshman reports, and I know Kirby Smart for 5 years now, and I know Kirby Smart has this number of DBs. He's got this number of wide receivers he has to bring along for special teams.
And it's generally a lot because of the special teams, right? I mean, those two positions in particular, DB, wide receiver, you take a huge number of those. Georgia plays a lot of those guys during the game, but they're also your most versatile special teams players as well.
Yeah, this is way too inside baseball and maybe makes me seem a lot like Bill Connolly by churning all these stats. But I've got a median thing I look at from Kirby's travel squads over the years. he's usually getting to 25 of his 70 already by just with his defensive backs and wide receivers, those spots allocated. They've got to bring two long snappers in case somebody gets hurt. They got to bring at least three centers in case somebody gets hurt, especially now with the tracing and the virus that still hangs over everything. But you've also got to make sure that – I think the really interesting thing here is Prather Hudson, who is a special teams dynamo. He was always with the running backs. Now he's a safety, and he was always that extra running back you carried because, really, he just played special teams. Well, now he's going to take a number away from the normal DB slot because he is actually classified as a safety, practicing as a safety. If you want to get a little taste of what I think will be on everybody's minds when they look at who dresses and who makes the trip, I don't think there's any way that Tate Ratledge, Cedric Von Prawn, and Broderick Jones all make the trip. Maybe even two of those guys might not even make the trip because it's going to be very hard for Georgia to bring any more than 10 offensive linemen. They got guys like Clay Webb, Warren Erickson, Xavier Truss, Warren McClendon, Ben Cleveland, a lot of guys that had even get past that first group. So I think that roster is very interesting. I only think they take three quarterbacks, though.
And in keeping with the discussion about the offensive linemen, this has been fairly normal for Georgia. You mentioned Webb, you know, his first game at Georgia, he's not traveling on the travel roster, even though he's a former five-star signee. You know, we're at a weird time in Georgia football where being a five-star signee is no guarantee of going on a travel roster. So there's going to probably be at least an elite offensive lineman, if not more than one, who's not traveling. But that, to me, does nothing to determine what his future at Georgia is going to be. You're just only taking 70 right now. And, you know, Georgia's depth at the offensive line spots for the moment, I would say, is with the older players.
You know, here's one thing I want to see, Brandon, and you'll like this kind of chess match stuff. The one thing from Sam Pittman's lines we've always seen at Georgia, even going back to Arkansas, is they don't give up sacks. They get rid of the ball quick in the Kendall Briles offense. I know everybody on this feed wants to see Georgia put up 3.7 sacks against Arkansas on Saturday, but that's going to have to go through that Arkansas line to do so. Here's another thing that sticks out. Brandon, let's say Georgia ends up leaving Broderick Jones, Tate Ratledge, and Cedric Von Prawn in Athens because the 70, the way things worked out. Those are three guys right there who might even have been good enough to start for Arkansas in this game, or at least crack the two deep, that Georgia is not even bringing on the bus and on the plane to Fayetteville. I think that's the biggest disparity I can say. What Broderick Jones was the number 13 overall prospect in the country last year. He might not even make the bus for Georgia for that 70-man trip, whereas he might have been a starter at Arkansas. And that, to me, speaks to the huge gulf between the two programs right there.
All right, Jeff, on the road, assisted by AAA, thanks for being here. We will chat with you again soon, next week in a more traditional setting with me back in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios. Enjoy the game, and we'll look forward to reading plenty from you at dognation.com.
All right, Brandon, now this is a test case. This thing's better go well on Saturday in Fayetteville, or we'll rethink that whole Brandon on the road thing representing the team.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Great stuff from Jeff Sintel there as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Good to have all of you with us, too. We got some business we need to take care of before we're done. I still want you to hear from Kirk Herbstreit talking about the Georgia wide receivers. We'll give you a chance to do that. That's a key position group on Saturday. But before that, kind of a makeshift version of our SEC Through here. I want to preview the games of note in the SEC this week. And I want to remind you, as you're getting ready to enjoy some college football on Saturday, or really any brand of sports, it is a very busy time for sports. We're about to have Major League Baseball playoffs, NFL regular season. All of a sudden now, with the Pac-12 returning, Mountain West returning, I think you've got every FBS league but the MAC that's about to come back. By the way, listen, I'm going to be polite here and just say that I'm glad to have all versions of college football back, but isn't it amazing, some of these leagues that said they couldn't play, how quickly they've changed their mind on all that front. But either way, we're just sort of glad to have them back. Better late than never. We'll welcome them back into the fold here. But the point is, there's a lot of sports going on, and you're probably enjoying that with your friends on the weekend. A lot of home gating this year, maybe a little bit different than the typical tailgating experience. Either way, there's really no better way than to stay connected with all of that than with our friends at Classic City Lager. It is a great way to stay connected with friends, to enjoy the sports scene, the football this weekend. It is our Athens original from our friends at Creature Comforts Brewing, excuse me. Easy for me to say. Creature Comforts Brewing. It is a great tasting, crisp lager, just delicious, delicious stuff. It's available 6 or 12 pack cans year round at whatever retailer you go to. You can pick up some Classic City Lager today from Creature Comforts Brewing and enjoy yourself a great tasting, fun to drink, crisp beer, Athens original. Enjoy some Classic City Lager heading towards the weekend here. And also, I know you'll be enjoying some SEC football too. Let me give you an idea of some of the top games of the weekend and some of the ones that I'm paying the most attention to. I know a lot of you have been talking this week a little bit about Florida going to Ole Miss. This is one of those things where even me, as like sort of the chief Gator hater, I can't make a big case for Ole Miss in this game. I do have to give Mullen and Florida a little bit of credit. I don't like doing this, but as I say from time to time, honesty compels me to admit that the one thing that Mullen has been pretty good at Florida is handling his business in games in which Florida is supposed to win. I'll give you an example. This will be the 7th time in the Dan Mullen era that he has been a road favorite in Florida. That's a tough spot, expected to win a game in a hostile environment, maybe less hostile at Vaught Hemingway this upcoming Saturday. But in those previous instances, Mullen's team's covered the spread 5-6 or 5-1 against the spread the last 2 years as a road favorite under Dan Mullen. Gives you an idea of, while they still may have a lot to go to catch up with a program like Georgia, and I don't think the gap is narrowing with Florida and Georgia or Florida and the very best teams in the country, in terms of being able to confidently expect Florida to play well against lesser competition, I would say the last couple of years have proven that to be true. So I don't expect Ole Miss to do much in the way of kind of upset. I just don't expect that on Saturday. But obviously I'll still be tuned in. If for no other reason, I love the powder blue uniforms that the Rebels are going to be wearing on Saturday. As far as Auburn and Kentucky, that is kind of thought to be the game of the day in the SEC, just simply because it's two teams currently ranked in the top 25. And there's a lot of intrigue around Kentucky here, possibly pulling the upset over Auburn. I don't see that, y'all. You know, I've been saying this now for a while. I think you've got to be careful with Auburn. I think that Auburn is a very good team. I think Auburn next Saturday for Georgia is a very dangerous game. I expect Georgia to win, but I need to see Georgia at its best. I think if you're a UGA fan, you need Georgia at its best to win that game. I think Auburn's really pretty good, and I think Saturday could certainly be an example that kind of proves that to be true. Auburn and Kentucky is a game that's going to get a lot of chatter. You know, I think that Missouri may very well be circling the wagons against Alabama. I'm not even sure what they're necessarily expecting to do against the Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide about 22-point favorite or so on the road at Columbia. The Eli Drinkwitz era, I don't expect to start well. I think LSU-Mississippi State's an interesting game. A lot of attention will be paid to the coaching debut of Mike Leach, the quarterbacking debut of KJ Costello, and the fact that LSU plays with so much gone from its national championship team from a year ago. I'm actually expecting a pretty good performance from LSU in this game. And to me, the game of the day in the SEC, with apologies to Kentucky and Auburn, I think is Tennessee-South Carolina. This is one of those things where, like, if you're a real, like, just obsessive SEC fan, you just are fascinated by this. This is my Super Bowl because Will Muschamp, in some ways, is coaching for his job. Jeremy Pruitt's trying to prove that Tennessee's an emerging program. This is going to be a street fight between these two teams on Saturday. I can't wait for it. I've called for South Carolina to pull the outright upset as about a field goal underdog at home. This is a fun game, y'all. I cannot wait for Tennessee and South Carolina. I just think that's going to be a really good one there. And that's kind of your makeshift version of the SEC through looking at some of the big games in the SEC here this week. And on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, in the time that we have left, I do want to turn our attention back to the game on Saturday for Georgia. And one of the things that's going to get a lot of attention is whether it be Dwan Mathis or JT Daniels in some combination this week or in future weeks, the way in which that the on-ramp can work to have a create a successful season for those two quarterbacks in some respects involves the receiver position. Yes, I would say that I'm just as frustrated as you are by the maddening nature of the conversation a year ago between, hey, who do you blame for the offensive failures for Georgia? Is it quarterback? Is it coordinator? Is it receivers? That got to be a little distasteful for me. But admittedly, the receiver play for Georgia last season could have been better, needs to be better this upcoming season. And I thought it was interesting. I've played you a couple clips this week from Kirk Herbstreit, David Pollack on the ESPN CFB podcast, where they really got deep into what Georgia needs to do with its quarterback. You know that David Pollack was very excited about what Dwan Mathis brings to the table. And in that conversation, Kirk Herbstreit also offered kind of a sobering level of analysis on where Georgia is from the receiver position at the moment. I think this is very interesting. It sets us up for what we might see on Saturday. So as we get ready to wrap up our week, let me let you hear a little bit of Kirk Herbstreit really questioning what he is still going to see other than George Pickens from the Georgia receiver corps this season. This is Kirk Herbstreit from the ESPN podcast.
You have the receivers. I mean, that's an area that Georgia has always seems like they're trying to figure out is can they get, instead of Pickens and some other guys, you know, they need three or four. And people want to compare Kirby to Alabama. Alabama's always got three or four receivers. And Georgia needs to really become more consistent, more dynamic on the perimeter. They're always going to have a back. But can they get better besides George Pickens at receiver? They need more than that.
I think it's totally fair for Kirk Herbstreit to ask those questions. I don't think that's an inappropriate thing to bring up. And I guess I'm also a little bit surprised by my feelings on this. As we head towards the start of the season, you know, I'll certainly acknowledge that is one of the concerns that I have, one of the things I'm a little worried about. But I'm actually somewhat optimistic about that group, at least on Saturday. And I'll give you a couple names in particular that I'm thinking about here that I think are going to be fun to think about. I think there's a very good chance that Jermaine Burton could score a touchdown on Saturday. I think that Burton's going to be heavily involved in this offense. If Georgia's doing some things through the air, I could see Jermaine Burton being a guy that's involved in that. Kyaris Jackson, you think about some of the stuff that Jackson has said and talking about the Georgia offense and talking about what he's expected from Todd Monken. He clearly seems pretty enthused by all of this. I think that Kyaris Jackson is going to have a big role. It kind of remains to be seen beyond that, what's going on with some of those guys, you know, how comfortable they all are. But I think there's a big opportunity for a guy like Burton to step up, kind of representing the freshman group, for a guy like Jackson to step up, kind of representing the veteran group, and a combination of that, I think, can end up doing some pretty good things for the Georgia Bulldogs. Is wide receiver going to be a strength of the team? Not necessarily, but am I kind of curious to see the ways in which guys do get a chance to thrive while playing next to George Pickens, who at this point in time is a proven commodity? Yeah, I think that could indeed take place. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, let me also do this. Let me give a quick shout out to my friends at Nally Toyota of Roswell, because I love the work that they are doing there. They are the place, I would say, to buy a Toyota in North Atlanta and North Georgia, taking really good care of their customers. They want to do more than just meet your expectations. They want to exceed your expectations. That's something that Nally Toyota of Roswell is great at doing. This is a local trusted dealership with folks that kind of live in the area, know the area, and have been taking care of customers in the area for quite some time. And one of the great vehicles from Toyota right now, they've got great savings as well at Nally Toyota of Roswell also. I'm talking about the 2020 Toyota Highlander. It's got all new technology. It's an IIHS top safety pick. It's a Kelley Blue Book best and resale value. You can also buy one right now at Nally Toyota of Roswell for as little as $586 a month for qualified buyers. And that's not including down payment or applicable fees. And the offer is only valid here just for a few more days in the month of September. So make sure you go check that out right now. Take advantage of that. Nally Toyota is the place to buy a Toyota in North Atlanta and North Georgia. Go to toyotaofroswell.com for more details. That's toyotaofroswell.com. For more details on that. It's been great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Thanks so much for allowing me to be on the road here. Looking forward to a fun weekend in Fayetteville, what we hope is a very big game for the Georgia Bulldogs against the Arkansas Razorbacks, and the start of what we hope is going to be a really, really successful season for the Georgia Bulldogs. I know we're all keyed in to watch that, and I can't wait to watch it unfold before us, and can't wait to provide you coverage for that in and around Dog Nation all weekend long. We'll have the Kroger kickoff tomorrow, as always, on the side of the game. That's before the game. No dog walk this year. That's going to be a little bit different, but still Kroger kickoff coverage. And if you're going to be in Fayetteville, stop by and see me. As I said before, I've got a Kroger mask I'd love to give you here. A really cool thing with some of the great moments in Dog Nation history on the front there. You can check some of that out. We will see you there for that. Of course, after the game, our Dog Nation post-game show presented this year by the UGA Bookstore, myself from Fayetteville, Terrence Edwards as well. We'll be breaking down everything that happens with the Dogs and the Hogs. So we're looking forward to doing that. And, of course, on our way out the door here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, we'll keep the Gator Hater Updater going because that number keeps climbing. 427 days since those lousy, stinking Gators had beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to watch that number keep going up. And Georgia fans are going to have a lot to celebrate, I think, this season, including another win over those Gators later on. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Thanks for being with us for the entirety of the offseason. We've earned the right to watch some football. we get a chance to do that on Saturday. And I'll look forward to talking about all of that with you again here soon on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Have a great weekend, everybody.